I'd hate to get to the end of this and then you're like, I did not hear a word he just said.
So joining me this week, we've got Coronation Street actor Sam Aston. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, thank you. Thank you for coming on. I know you've listened to the podcast before, haven't you?
I have. I'm not just saying it because you're here. I'm a big fan. I've heard all episodes. I've enjoyed it.
Amazing.
And I think you're doing a really good job with it, man. So
thank you.
It's a privilege to be.
Much appreciated.
To be part of it.
You're a real ale drinker as well, aren't you? I think that's the reason why I managed to get you on.
Yeah, that's it really. It's just the beer, nothing else. No, yeah. I am. I do like, I'm definitely partial to a craft ale.
Fantastic. And, yeah. Perfect podcast for you then, isn't it?
That's the one.
So, firstly, congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you very much.
Which happened last year.
Correct.
And how recently since you had your baby boy?
So, Sonny was born on the 11th of August, but he was quite early, six weeks early. So that was a shock. Not that, you know, you're not expecting, she's pregnant, but it's just he came very early. We knew, though, we didn't know, sorry, but we guessed she was going to go early because she was having like, she thought it was Braxton Hicks.
Right.
But then when she went and got checked out, because they were getting more frequent, we found out that she was actually having contractions.
Wow.
But her waters hadn't broke, nothing like that.
Jesus.
So it was, it just all came on quite thick and fast. And we thought, there's no way she's going full term here.
Yeah, it's early, isn't it? 6 weeks.
Yeah, this is it. And then she was getting lots of pressure and whatnot. And then, I was getting ready for work. Because she'd gone in for like an observation, so they kept her in. And I was literally just like getting ready for work, and I got a phone call saying I'm 2 centimeters dilated. You need to come to the hospital. And I was like, what? Like, you know,
that's too early.
Yeah, I know. But I can't complain. Everything's good. He's doing really well now, putting weight on, and yeah, it's brilliant.
Amazing. So you're finding parenthood okay for the first 6 weeks or so?
Yeah, I am. It's definitely obviously a change. You know, I find though when you say a lot. Especially from guys, they're like, oh, you know, wave bye-bye to your sleep. And you just hear horror stories, you never see
yeah,
to it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, man. And he's so good. It's so rewarding. And straight away, you just feel so protective of him.
Mm.
It's like, I love him like you just wouldn't believe. And it sounds really soppy, that. But when they're there, it's just an instant thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But he's brilliant. And sleep-wise, he's not doing too bad. He gets up a couple of times for a feed.
How are you doing sleep-wise?
Okay.
Yeah?
Not bad. Yeah. It's not like... I'm not sleeping as well as I was before, but it's not like I'm up just all night, not getting a wink.
Yeah, yeah.
We do get a few, you know, 2-3 hours here and there.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's enough, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. You know, when they get to that, I think, I don't know if it's 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my mum's, I'm like 1 of 9, so my
mum's
like loads of kids. And she was saying, you know, when they get a little bit older and they start sleeping through a little bit more, it's like my mother-in-law said as well, you know, none of it is permanent, you know, it's just, you know, they're in little phases at the minute.
Yeah,
so
it'll be a learning curve, won't it, up until then? And then they'll be really, really cute. Because that's the problem, isn't it? We only see the cute side of it when we see babies. It's just like, oh my God, like, it's amazing. We're not there at like 3 o'clock in the morning when they're wide awake and stuff like that.
Oh no, like last night, he was so irritable, bless him. I think he must have had some like wind or tummy ache or something because he wouldn't settle for quite a while. It was like 2 or 3 hours we were just trying to settle him. And then, you know, and then eventually, all of a sudden, he had a feed, and that was it, conked out, and it's like, nice one, and then you've got to try and go to sleep, then you're wide awake, so, but you know what, honestly, it is amazing, I'm very lucky because my missus is fantastic, and, you know, she's breastfeeding, and she's doing so well, and now, I'm really proud of her, man, so
amazing.
It's nice.
Good. Congrats.
Thank you.
Huge congratulations. So, obviously, you mentioned your wife, Bryony,
mm-hmm.
So she's an incredible yoga teacher, she's got a huge following on Instagram and things like that. And there's a funny thing, you actually did a yoga-inspired first dance at your wedding, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
How did that go?
Well, to be honest, I was just happy I got through it because I was so nervous. Honestly, out of everything in the day, you know, the wedding itself, the ceremony, the speeches, I was just really nervous about that first dance.
And was that one of the last things that you did?
Yeah. It was. Honestly, I think I'd had like a sip of maybe champagne or like a
couldn't
red wine
relax.
Or something. I just couldn't because I didn't want to... I was so nervous about like dropping her on
her
head or something, you know, in the middle. I was like... So I don't. We kind of went into the deep end there. But no, it went really well and we practiced it quite a bit.
Good.
I mean, I don't do yoga really, to be honest. So
I was going to ask you that. So obviously because your wife does it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever join in her, yoga workouts?
No... Not really. I did at first a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? I should, because I actually am. I'm very like tight. I've got really tight hamstrings. Mm. I used to train a bit at the gym with my brother and stuff, and we never used to stretch or anything. Mm. And it is really important. And I'd go to a class every now and again to one of my missus' classes, and like I'd come out and I feel so good.
Yeah,
it was just getting me there. I'd always make an excuse and not go. And really, I should. I mean, it's not too late. I'm only 27, so I need to get back into it. When she gets going again, I need to get back into it because you feel good for it. But the yoga thing came about because we were doing. She said that she wanted to go to. I think it was. Oh, what's the venue near the Chaffer Centre called? Is it Event City?
Okay.
And they were doing like a bit of like a yoga expo.
Right.
And she really wanted to go. So I said, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
And there was like an acro yoga little like stand where they were kind of doing demonstrations and things.
Right.
And that's basically acro yoga is yoga. It's two, obviously it's a couple.
Yeah.
And you have a base and you have a flyer.
Right.
So
okay.
The base
sounds interesting.
Yeah, the base is obviously on the floor and you just basically base the flyer and the flyer does a lot of the positions.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like that. And that's what, and actually we did it for like an hour there and we got talking to this guy called Eugene who does it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is actually really cool. So I started doing it and then we said, it was Bryony's suggestion. She was like, why don't we do it for the first dance? It'd be something so different. And I was like, why not?
I've seen the video of it on your Insta. But I think it's like the last part of it on your Instagram. You look like you did a decent job, to be fair.
No, I was just happy we got through it, to be honest. And it was so funny,
drinking.
The second I did that, I was literally like, right, get me a whiskey.
I've got to ask, so the first song dance that you did was Stay With You by John Legend. Mm-hmm. Who chose that? Because that is a big tune.
I honestly think I chose it, and I'll confidently say that. And whether my missus agrees, I don't know. But I've loved that album. My dad had it my dad used to drive us to school.
Yeah.
And my dad's into all that kind of music, and he had that. I think, is it Get Lifted, the album? Or what's it called?
Yeah, it's something along
it's
those lines.
Yeah. And my dad had it. He used to play it all the time in the car, and I remember that song because I know he's got the other one, All of Me, which is a bit more of a famous one.
Yeah.
But that one, I definitely remember saying to my missus, "I love this," and
I
showed her. Yeah, and she. And I think she went with it. So.
I'm looking forward to you getting a message saying, I can't believe you said you chose that song.
I know. Well, she chose the name Sunny, I think. She first put that out there and then that grew on me. But I'm confidently saying that I chose the first
You're taking
song.
That. You're taking that. Amazing. So, obviously, we've got to talk about Coronation Street. You played Chesney on Coronation Street and you were 9 years old when you got the part of Chesney.
Yep.
Do you remember your first scene?
I do remember my first scene.
Do you? Do you want to take us through it?
Yeah. It was, I was on... We were on location, so we weren't filming at the studios. We were filming at the house where I was in, like, foster care.
Oh, really?
Because obviously the part was I was coming in as Fizz's brother.
Yeah.
I think Scylla, who played my mum, she'd come into it only a couple of months before me.
Right.
And you got the feel for her that she was this kind of rough and ready, and she's got three kids, never really taken much responsibility over any of them, sorry. So she's kind of... She's not really a liked character. She was funny in that way, but she was not a great mum, you know, in any terms. But I was in this foster home, and the first scene is Fizz comes to the door to pick me up to collect me. I think she finds out basically from Scylla that I'm like, you know, I'm in foster care. So she's like, what? So she gets there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I've rigged a little trap, and it's like a water balloon or something.
Yeah, it was a water balloon.
Yeah, she walked through the door and it falls on her head and I was like, result, and that was it. And that was my first scene. But it was crazy, but I don't know, you know, being part of like Coronation Street and it was, you know, a massive, massive thing. But at that age, I don't think you realise, you know, quite how
the gravity
big it
of
is.
It, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, you're 9 years old. It's like, I was just doing something I enjoyed. It's like little kids that play, you know, you get like kids playing football and they might, you know, get taken on by a team, whatever, you know, they're just doing what they love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not. I wasn't thinking of that as like a career path. It was just, something I enjoyed.
Amazing. You only meant to do the role for 3 months, weren't you?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I only got a contract for 3 months.
Nearly 20 years later.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It's insane, man. I honestly, I mean, I have to, you know, pinch myself. I do honestly feel, you know, very, very lucky. And I've always said that I like to think I've never really rested on any of my laurels there.
You've done it yourself, Phil. You've done it yourself, you know.
Yeah. No, I just feel very blessed to be part of such an iconic show.
Everyone knows Jesse from Coronation Street as well. Such an iconic character.
I'm not sure, man. No, I appreciate that.
I think you're one of the longest serving actors, aren't you, currently?
I don't know. In Corrie, there's a lot.
Is there?
There's a lot.
Who's longer than you?
I mean, there's loads. You've got like, because you've got all the older cast members. So you've got like, you know, Bill Roach, Barbara Knox. There's loads. Honestly, I'm not just saying it. There is loads.
Yeah.
I think on the younger end of it, I am probably one of the
definitely
longer ones.
There. Yeah.
But on the, you know, the characters, there's a lot. I mean, the show's been going for so long. There's, like I said, there's only a few, I would say, in the younger of the cast that have been there, you know, for a certain amount of years. Yeah. So yeah, I've been there a long time. So like I said, yeah. I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right. You're not gone yet.
They've not got rid of me yet. So I feel, you know, feel
what,
good for that.
What I like about Coronation Street is the fact that they confront quite real situations. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the recent ones was your on-screen partner, Gemma Winter, mm-hmm. Played by Dolly Rose Campbell. She suffered with postnatal depression following the birth of Quads, mm-hmm. which is obviously, you know, that's going on in Chesney's life right now. So
yes, correct.
What's going on in terms of coronavirus with Coronation Street, with filming and things like that? Is it recommenced now?
Yeah, we're back filming. We've been back for a little while.
Okay.
Again, I feel so lucky to be in work because I don't know if you know, but obviously the entertainment industry. I mean, my sister's an actress. She's a jobbing actress.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to speak out of term or anything, but like theatre and things like that, it's on its backside.
Yeah, it's not come back yet,
no,
has it?
No, and whereas Corrie and Soap, you're very lucky, I think, because, you know, we've not really been affected, really. You know, we're still going to work and we're obviously off for a bit. But, you know, we've got some furlough, we're back in now, we're filming. Obviously, it's not to the capacity it was. And as well, they've had to put a lot of...
social distancing measures
in
place.
Yeah, all the stuff, you know, it's got to be done. So we have to, you know, you film 2 meters apart, there's only going to be a certain amount of people on set. It's, you know, there's one way around the whole building. When you come in, you have your temperature checked. You know, they've really you can tell they've thought about everything. There's only a certain amount of people out in the canteen. You don't, there's no places where you can kind of just congregate. It's just one of them. But like I say, they've done an amazing job to get the place back up and running. It's a massive operation there, you know.
Yeah, so I can imagine.
Six eps a week normally.
Wow. There's
loads of people in
six
the
a week.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's literally, it's like a factory. It's
huge,
crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. So on to obviously more positive things.
Yeah.
What's your favourite scene you've ever filmed at Corrie? Put you on the spot here, Anna.
Yeah, I think recently, which was really cool, is we went to Llandudno to film in Llandudno.
Okay.
And we were filming on the up the Great Orme, you know, on the cable.
I
say it was one of my favourite. It was actually really hard work because it was so cold up there. I'm not just saying it. And we were up there. Basically, we'd practiced the scene. So from a technical point of view, it was a massive, massive ask because you'd have us, had me and Dolly in one cable car. These cable cars were tiny. For some reason, I was thinking these cable cars were going to be ginormous. We'd get like 10 people in, but they're not. Yeah. Literally, they're tiny.
Okay.
It's like two little small benches, and you're in there, and you had me and Dolly, and we'd sit off, and then in front of us, we had like sound. Behind us, we had like the director.
Yep.
We had a whole like technical team like following us, and basically we had like a walkie, so we'd have to just do the scene. Normally, like you'd have like you do a scene and you get feedback, you do a take, and the director would come on and maybe give you a few notes or whatever, and you go again. Whereas with this, they were saying it'd all come through walkie talkie, so literally they'll just let us know what's going on, you know. But when it sets off, you can't come back, you've got to go all the way around, and it's about a half an hour loop, I think, or 40 minutes, something like that.
Yeah,
so we do this first scene and we get halfway there. Before we get halfway there, we did one take and we were waiting for him to say cut, but they didn't say cut. And we were like, so we were saying, look, the walkie was dead, we couldn't get hold of anybody, and we set off. So we were like, oh no. So we basically just said, let's just go again.
Yeah.
So we thought, if they're recording, we're going to waste 40 minutes here. So let's just keep going for as many takes as we can until we get back. So me and Dolly just kept going and going and going. I think we did like 20 takes.
What, with the hope that when you got out of there?
Yeah. So anyway, when we got there, we got back after the first scene and the director couldn't get it on playback. It wouldn't play back. So he was like, and time wise we were running out because the next day we had to wrap for the next day. We still had three scenes to do. We were going to lose daylight and it was getting really windy. And up there, from a safety point of view, if it's too windy, they have to stop. You've got to think the money that they've put to put the crew out there. So they couldn't stop. So we're like, we just need to go for the second scene. So we literally did it all blind. Like genuinely, we did the whole thing blind. And then when we came down and they took it to like the edit, they'd got it all. And the director said, you know, did what they did post-production and they got it together.
Yeah.
But it was a really strange, but it was a really cool experience though, because it was so different. Normally, like I say, it's very, very structured and you do a take, you can go again, they can kind of, you give your notes. Whereas this, it was literally just me and Dolly up there. We weren't having any communication with anyone and we were just going for it like again and again. So it kind of, from that point of view, it's really challenging, but it was a really, really cool experience.
So you just had to like weigh up like how long to do between takes and things like that, because you're not getting any guidance.
Yeah, and a more point of view, we were trying to see, we'd have a dead quick chat and just think, well, should we maybe do that a little bit differently or whatever, and just go again. You know, just because, like I say, we didn't want to get down there.
Yeah.
And just been chatting
crap, basically,
for 40 minutes.
Yeah. And, you fought on your feet there. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Honestly, for some reason, the walk, it was just dead. And obviously, we didn't have our mobiles on us. And you literally... And because of the distance of the cable cars and the wind and everything...
You can't do any sign language. You can't hear it.
So we wanted until we were coming back round. I think the director did do that to us. So we kind of took that as, you know, just keep going or...
We're rolling on, or whatever.
Yeah. So we were just like... So yeah, I mean, but like
fair play to you.
That was an experience.
Yeah, and, absolutely. Fair play. A lot of people would have just stopped doing that, but you did well there.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then obviously, I suppose one of the most iconic ones was when I was younger and I had the big dog Schmeichel, which everybody still kind of collars me about now.
My next question was going to be your saddest moment, and I was going to say it's got to be Schmeichel. Yeah. Surely.
Well, the iconic one was obviously when he jumped through the bathtub. Yeah. Jumped to the bathtub and came through the roof. That was good fun to be part of when I was younger. But yeah. Yeah, I would. It's probably it's one of them. Because obviously that I was I've always been a massive dog fan, and obviously you know
you've got dogs, aren't you?
Yeah, I have. Mm. Yeah, so you know, saying bye to him, that was because we'd filmed a lot, you know, and it's it was quite sad. But
I had to rewatch that, so I rewatched that the other night, and I was tearing up, no joke. It was like I remember watching it like when it came out on TV, and it was like Jesus Christ, and I was like, all those emotions.
Everybody loved that dog. Yeah. Honestly, I'm not joking. I still literally get like when I'm out and about and people come to me like, oh, they'll be like, where's your big dog?
Yeah.
And I'm like, still dead. You know what I mean? he's been gone 7 years.
I nearly had a shocker and called it Wellard. Yeah. And that's the dog on
people
the East
do
End,
this.
Isn't it?
It's mad, honestly. No. I think Wellard came later, though. I think Schmeichel was the original.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. Getting a little bit emotional there.
Yeah.
that was played by four dogs, I think. Mm-hmm. So what was that like? Did you notice it being a different dog when you were filming with it?
Yeah, I knew it was obviously... What happened was, the first one that we got was a puppy, because obviously the dog came in as a puppy.
Yeah, of course,
We called it the owner who bred them.
Yeah.
And she was like a dog trainer. She brought Schmeichel in as Schmeichel. She literally called the puppy Schmeichel because they knew they were going to be using it for a while.
Okay.
And to rather confuse the dog as a puppy, she went, well, I'll just call it Schmeichel.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So that was Schmeichel, but he had a spine problem, like a back problem.
Oh, he retired.
So, early because he was walking like... really, you could tell the way he walked. Mm. He was like swinging his back end, exaggerating around. And when she went and got him looked at, he basically had this. I think it came from him being so big. I think it was something to do with his growth, his back, and he was basically just unfortunately, he was in a lot of pain with it as well. So she was like, obviously, she had to retire him from the show. So she brought in his. It sounds daft, but I think as you know, as relation go, I think it was like his uncle or something, and he was called Magnum. We had Magnum next, and Magnum was brilliant. He was a bit older, so what they had to do was he had a grey muzzle, so they used to have to put this like black, like it wasn't paint, it was like this stuff that was friendly for dogs. They put on his muzzle,
dog makeup,
to make him look like he wasn't grey and old. Because the thing is with these Great Danes, they don't live very long. I think if you get it to like 8 or 9, like
Jesus,
because the big dogs, it must be a lot of strain on the heart or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They just don't live. They're not known for living long, basically. So Magnum was 7 when he started.
Jesus.
And he was playing a dog that's like 1 in the show.
Right, okay.
So he was very placid to do that. And then, anyway, Magnum's got really, really old. She had to retire Magnum. Mm. And one of the pups that was coming through called Spike, we used Spike. And Spike fit perfectly for a while. And then I think Spike passed away early.
Oh, no.
And then the last one that they got, she called Schmeichel again. And then they came up with this story. Obviously, they told me this. I remember it was a lady called Ada, who now works at Hollyoaks, I think.
Okay.
She rang me up and said, basically, the dog's going to pass away. And they wanted to do it as when his life goes, another life comes in. So it was kind of like when Chesney was having his child, his first Joseph.
Yeah.
He lost Schmeichel, but like, when he went out of this world, like Joseph came into it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That was kind of the spin on it. So nice. Anyway, you know, but what was funny is at the end when we had Spike, Schmeichel, the last Schmeichel that was a pup, because he was only 1, but he was fully grown, he was big. They had to put grey on him because in the show he was old. So the original one we were putting black on to make him look young.
Yeah.
And the last one, because he was this young sprightly thing, we were putting grey on him to make him look old.
Oh my god. So unbelievable. Yeah. Love it. What do you do during your downtime then? Because I know you've got a business, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk us through your business?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, downtime, obviously, I don't know,
like a nail.
Going for a cheeky pint, just at the local or, you know, at home, whatever. And then I think the business, that came about because when I was, I think I was about 16 or 17, around that kind of age, I'd finished school. I didn't want to go to sixth form. I didn't want to go to college or anything. Yeah. Just because I was enjoying, obviously, my acting and I still had a contract. But my mum and dad did kind of make it clear to me. They kind of said, if your contract doesn't get renewed, because my contract was in the summer anyway.
Okay.
They said, if it doesn't get renewed when you finish your exams, you know, not, they weren't trying to be nasty. They were just saying,
you need something to fall back on.
Or even you've got to go to college or do something. You can't just sit at home not doing anything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know. And then anyway, they renewed my contract. So I was like, yes. Mm. And then my brother, I think I had about a year of that. And then my brother, basically, he was working as a technician at Hazzy Eye.
Yep. Hazzy Eye, went to Hazzy Eye. I remember when you came in, it was like, oh my God, that's Jesney.
Yeah. No, I know.
Unreal.
It's tricky. But no, I had a great time, Hazzy. But my brother was working there as a technician.
Yeah.
He wanted to kind of do something different with his life. And he had a friend in Canada who was doing promotional merchandising, so like printing on pens, you know, beer mats, mouse mats, whatever.
Anything you can print on.
Yeah, anything you can print on for your companies and stuff. So Joe said, we could do that over here. You know, we could source it, you know, from another like supplier and we'll just source it. So we went into that, not wholeheartedly. I can't even remember now. We only did it for about 6 months. So we were called Brand Boys. Anyway, it didn't go great, but to be honest, we weren't, like I say, fully invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing that was the busiest was the clothing side of it, as in the workwear. We were doing a lot of embroidery and like high-vis vests and things like that. So we thought maybe we should just do that full time. Mm-hmm. We got, again, I'll try and get the story short, but we let a company down. We got an order for, I think it was these pressure gauges for there was a massive motorcycle rally.
Okay.
And we got the contract to do these little like key rings that have like a pressure gauge on them. Anyway. This company that was doing them in Birmingham, they let us down and they didn't get them to us on time. And then we had to go and let them down.
Oh,
and
God.
They absolutely kicked off with us, understandably.
Really?
We let them down. We were young. We just looked stupid. And it was like, we don't ever want this to happen again. So let's just go down the clothing
route. It's character building, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. You've got mistakes. Totally. So we bought a little single head embroidery machine.
Mm.
We bought a little like vinyl like plotter. And we basically just started up as JSA Print for Joe Sam Aston Print. And we just set it up in 2011 in my brother's bedroom. Then we went into my mum and dad's garage.
Mm.
We made that into like an office.
Yeah.
We put like a little pool table in there and stuff. So we were still a bit distracted. And then we've recently moved to, it's the last couple of years, but fairly recently to Newhall Hay and Rottenstall.
Okay.
So now we have, like a unit there. So we got into it really just through Joe's friend in a way.
Yeah.
But we've been doing it ever since. And yeah, it's taken a long time. And, you know, we've grafted it. And my brother, especially, Joe's put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's, you know, it's going the right way.
Yeah.
So it just takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, in business, of course.
I don't think there's any, unless if you come up with something that's just a genius idea, anything like what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's just time and, you know what I mean? Just keep going with it.
And a little bit of luck, but you make your own luck, don't you?
Totally, 100%.
Real. So the brother that has the clothing business with you, has he done any acting? Because obviously you mentioned your sister. She's been in things like Trollied and This Is England, etc.
Yeah, that's all.
So does your brother do anything like that?
He used to when he was young and then he stopped.
On Corrie?
He was on Corrie for a very small amount of time. Well, no, was he? On, he might have been on for about 6 months, actually.
Right, okay.
He played Tommy Duckworth, who was... I think like Vera and Jack's grandson, I think.
Right, okay.
It was basically, I don't know if you know, Chris Fountain played Tommy Duckworth. He came in much later as Tommy Duckworth.
Right,
that's the part that my brother played when he was a
when
kid.
When he was younger.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But Joe didn't, obviously, I mean, he's not been acting for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so Joe did some acting. Like I said, I'm one of nine, so I've got five sisters, three brothers.
Yeah. Wow. What was that like growing up?
Crazy. But Emily started the acting tradition off, should I say.
Yeah.
She got picked up at school by a casting agent came through. They were filming, they were auditioning for a film called Orange Is Not the Only Fruit.
Okay.
And I think it was like in the 80s or something. And my sister was picked up at school. They basically just came into this school because it was being filmed in the area. And the way it happened is obviously they just started auditioning if anyone was interested. No one in the family had done acting. Emily's number four or five in the line, I think, and she what really just wanted to go for, I think she was doing, was she doing a little bit of amateur dramatics? She was doing something very, you know, very small. And she just really wanted to go for this part. My dad's an accountant. My mum works at the NHS. None of us have ever got any experience in it whatsoever.
Really?
They were just like, my mum and dad were like, well, okay, if you know, if you want to go for it, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. And Emily got the part.
Amazing.
And the next thing you knew it, she had to go to London to film. She had to get contact lenses. She was like, she was 8 years old because they wanted her eyes to match the main actress in the show.
Wow.
So because she was playing the main actress as a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it got premiered. She went to New York. Like, she got nominated for a BAFTA. She's the youngest person to ever get nominated for a BAFTA. And I feel proud saying that because obviously it's my sister.
Yeah, of course.
It's, you know, it's
unbelievable.
It's amazing. So yeah, she was. It was mad, like how it just all came about. And then from there, basically, there was Lizzie, Tom, Joe, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all kind of just went to a drama workshop in Bury.
Okay.
Carol Godby's. We went there.
Okay.
And then that's just kind of how it, like,
snowballed
from
there.
Yeah, snowballed from there. So it's, yeah, it was a, yeah, it was a weird
amazing.
One.
That's unbelievable. Love it. So what's your, I've got to ask this, right? So do you watch Coronation Street?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't watch it absolutely religiously just because, you know, I just don't think I have the time or anything because with business and everything and, you know, things in personal life. It's
what
like
do you
hobbies.
Watch? What do you watch?
I watch, oh man, I watch loads. I mean, recently, I just watched that new film on Netflix called I See You.
Okay, like not seeing myself.
Film. It's good, really good, quite clever, yeah. It's good, man. You should check that one out. And then, as a bit of a guilty pleasure, we binged. I don't even, this is normally, genuinely not my type of programme whatsoever.
I can't wait for this.
And Selling Sunset came up.
Oh,
and
so I've not
missus,
seen this, but...
We just blitzed it.
Yeah.
I don't even know why.
Yeah.
It was the most fake, you know, the arguments that they get to, you know it's all staged. And yet, me and my missus were like, oh, I can't believe she said that about her. And like, we just got, we literally got zapped into it.
Yeah.
Every night, we've literally been like, should we watch another episode? So, but,
it's easy watching, though, isn't
it's
it?
It's very easy watching,
easy watching.
And with the little, now with the little in it, kind of, you know, we'll feed him, and he's there, like, in his little Moses basket. You put an half-hour episode of that on, and it's gone. But, I mean, I don't know, before that, I've watched just a lot of the stuff that people do. I love documentaries, so we watch a lot of documentaries. You know, like the... Don't Fuck With Cats. And, what's the other one that we did? The Epstein one.
Yeah, I watched that recently. Yeah.
We watch a lot of documentaries and stuff. And I love all the series on. We watch quite a lot of telly.
Have you seen The Boys on Amazon?
No, I've not
okay,
seen that.
You need to watch that, but that's not a Bryony and the Kid kind of one.
Okay.
It's like a superhero, but the superheroes are like fairly bad.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
pretty brutal, but
okay.
I definitely recommend watching that.
Okay, man.
Yeah, but so on your own.
Okay.
Amazon, The Boys,
The Boys, yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
Brilliant.
Bryony, you're not watching this
Yeah, Bryony, I wouldn't watch it if I were you.
No, that's fine. That'd be awesome.
Did you see Diversity's performance on Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Unreal, that, wasn't
literally,
it?
Literally, man. Honestly, I genuinely had, like, goosebumps
from
start to finish. Those guys are just insane.
No,
they were like yonks ago, weren't they?
I think it was over like, it must be like close to 12 years or something.
And you watch them now, like, they're
just
seamless, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the problem, I think. I mean, personally, whenever I watch, you know, Britain's Got Talent and a dance act comes on, I'm comparing them to Diversity.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, they're out of time there. And I don't know their first thing about dancing.
So become an expert.
No, that's it. But Diversity just set the bar so high.
Yeah.
It's like...
They are unreal. That was a powerful performance. That
really powerful.
That got over 1,000 Ofcom complaints, like, you know, because of the whole thing around George Floyd and the kneeling on the neck and
but
stuff like that.
But isn't it a tribute? Like,
I think there's just some people in the world that are just... will complain anything, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching it, and then it was a shame because, like, it was such a big performance, but all the main articles were about the Ofcom complaints. I was thinking that's just taking it away from him, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
But I guess it highlights the still issues, so it's not all bad, I suppose. But
no, like you say, I think people will always find something to complain about, won't they?
Couldn't believe it.
But yeah, no, it was likeable. But yeah, I thought it was just an unbelievable tribute. I thought it was I had like goosebumps from when it started. Even, you know, the music, it was that, like, the I Can't Breathe and all that. Honestly,
that was the bit when
I was like
oh my god.
Honestly, my missus was the same. I looked over at her, in fact, I remember, and she had like tears in her eyes. She was like, she was choked by it. It was
unbelievable performance. Unbelievable.
Time, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you want to try some alcohol then?
Yeah, let's do
you
it.
Ready to do it?
Yeah.
So you'll know this game. This is called Daft or Craft.
Okay, yeah. So I'm familiar with it.
Three craft ale or lager names. One's made up by me.
Yes.
Two are real. It's on you, the special guest, Sam Aston. It should be called Erasing the Sam. I've had 6 episodes now, and three have been called Sam.
I was in the same form as him.
Sam Jones.
Yeah, in the same form. Sam Spencer. I actually had a sleepover at his house, Sam Jones, when I was a kid. Did he used to live in a pub? I'm sure
I
he
probably
lived,
should know this.
Yeah, he did. That's where I slept. He lived in a pub, and I went. We played loads of pool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I stayed over at his house. I think we were like year 8 or 9 or something.
Oh wow!
It was cold. I remember that. Literally, I was like, dude, you need to get some heating in here. I was freezing.
I'm definitely going to bring him up on that one. Love it. Okay, yeah. So we've had Sam Spencer as well. Did you train with Sam Spencer?
I did. I've not done it for a while, and I need to. He's top guy.
Oh,
Sam.
He's class. Really nice guy.
Really get on with him. And as a coach, I mean, I'm not professional. I literally just went to. You can't get a better coach.
Yeah.
He just explains things so well.
Yeah, yeah.
He just honestly, man, the guy's a wizard. I really, really get on with him. And yeah, I was doing some jiu-jitsu with him, and really, really good. I would highly recommend it. Like, it's real. Honestly, I need to get going with it again because. It was just, it's brilliant. And I think it's important to, know how to handle yourself, whatever.
Yeah, of course.
It's great.
You never know what you'll come across in future.
And even from just a fitness point of view, you come out of there, you've got a real sweat on. Like, it's a really good workout.
Yeah.
I mean, at the minute, obviously, I don't think I'll fly at the minute with COVID and everything. But as soon as all this lifts, I need to get back in there. Yeah.
Amazing. Good on you. I'll join you.
How about definitely. That?
I'll join you.
Trying to twist each other up.
You'll win, mate. I'm all for something like that.
No way.
I'm going to tell you 3 craft ale names, okay? And you've got to weigh up which one's wrong.
Okay.
So, you ready?
Yeah. Last time when I've heard you doing this, I've tried to guess it, and every time I've got it wrong.
So there's only one guess. Now. There's only one guess that's got it right so far.
Yeah.
Like, literally all the rest of them are gone for mine being real. So I'm doing something right. Okay, so this one is called Fuck You, I Won't Brew What You Tell Me.
Okay.
The second one is I Booze Easily, So Be Gentle When You Handle Me.
Okay.
And the third one is If Only The Hoff Had A Beard. I can't keep a straight face. So I'm going to go back through them again.
Okay.
First one's Fuck You, I Won't Brew What You Tell Me. The second one is I Booze Easily, So Be Gentle When You Handle Me. And the third one's If Only The Hoff Had A Beard. What are you thinking? I'm thinking they're mental names, to be fair.
They are mental names. I'm just really... I don't know. I don't want to get this wrong.
No pressure.
They're all wacky and they're long and I don't know. That's it. Because they're all quite... Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm
it's
struggling
not a normal
with which,
name.
No,
None
I'm struggling with which one you yeah. made up there.
One more time. Fuck You, I Won't Brew What You Tell Me. I Booze Easily, So Be Gentle When You Handle Me. If Only The Hoff Had A Beard. I can see the cogs turning in your head.
I am, honestly. This is some heavy duty stuff. No, I think the second one.
Okay. I Booze Easily, So Be Gentle When You Handle Me. Fuck You, I Won't Brew What You Tell Me. I Booze Easily, So Be Gentle When You Handle Me. If Only The Hoff Had A Beard. Sam's got his head in his hands here.
No, I know. I'm trying to think. Would Fuck You be on the front of a can or a bottle? Like, maybe?
Good point. Maybe not. I can't give anything
This is horrible.
Away.
This is just really hard. I feel like I'm going to say the second one. I think
the second
is incorrect.
One. So you're going with I Booze Easily, So Be Gentle When You Handle Me as the one as made up by me.
I think so, yeah.
Are you locking that answer in?
I'm going to lock that answer in.
Okay. Sam Aston. I'm nervous for some reason.
Got it.
You've gone and got it right.
Have I got it right?
You got it right.
Oh, man, see, I told you. It was worth the thinking.
It was.
The Hoff one was making you laugh. I kind of thought, I took that as a sign that he's not made that up. Laughing at his own jokes.
No.
But then the first one, I said we would have put it on the can, but I don't know.
So
there is
a little bit of a discrepancy there. So they don't actually spell out the F
word. Is it
word.
Like 2 stars? Like
it's just 1 star.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's an F and then a star and then CK.
Yeah, cool.
But obviously get the idea. But
yeah.
We've got Fuck You.
Yes,
I
got it right.
No, I can't believe it. I'm devastated.
Literally.
Second
my
person,
greatest
though.
Achievement. I'm well off it.
So do you want to try Fuck You, I Won't Brew What You Tell Me and If Only the Hoff Had a Beard?
Let's do it. I want to try these.
These are both from a company called, a brewing company called Weird Beard Brewing Company. So from the same place. If Only the Hoff Had a Beard is 3.8%. So that's fairly, is that fairly low?
Yeah, that's a nice, that's just like a, I would say that's a session. That.
Yeah, Session IPA. Is that why they call it Session IPA?
Yeah.
Is it?
I would think so. Yeah, it's a session beer. You can have quite a few of them and you're not too...
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Messed up.
Never thought about that before, you know.
Yeah.
Like when people say it's a session out, like session beer.
It's a session ale.
Because you can drink so much of it.
I would,
God,
that's
you
what
learn something new every day. I can't believe that.
Yeah, the craft scene. Yeah.
Pour yourself some of that. Give it a taste.
Sour.
No. Mm. What do you reckon to that? The sound of that?
Sour. Not usually a big sour fan.
No.
Sour beer. Sours and saisons. They don't. I don't know. Not usually. But don't knock it till you tried it.
Indeed. Give it a go. What are you saying to that?
Definitely got a sour aftertaste. That
has it.
Yeah.
I mean, your face isn't. What do you think?
I'm still got that on the palate. Do you know what I mean?
You're as proper tasty, aren't you?
No. So yeah. That one, I wouldn't.
Yeah, If Only the Half Had a Beard's.
Just not my kind of thing. As in, it's
sour,
got a lovely colour. It's nice, but it's just that sour aftertaste is just a bit much for me.
What are you saying out of 10 then?
3 for me. 3 or 4.
I think I'm going to go 2.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just got a sour aftertaste. It's tangy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I'd be like, something's wrong with my beer kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so I've got to say before you taste this one. This one's 9.3%.
Woo!
So fuck you, I won't brew what you tell me. Again, from Weird Beard Brewing Company. 9.3%.
That's
heavy. That's not far off a bottle of wine, that, is it?
That's intense.
What do you reckon to that one?
I like that.
Yeah,
but
could you drink that by the pint, do you think?
No,
I
think it'd be stronger. It feels strong as well, wouldn't it? If you know, if you got it through the keg, you know.
Yeah,
that'd be like.
I think that's better than the first one.
I'm gonna go
6 for that.
I'll agree with you on that. Six out of ten.
So, If Only the Half Had a Beard, I'm going 2. You're going 3.
Yeah,
and fuck
we'll have a beard drinking that.
Fuck you, I won't brew what you tell me.
No, that's it.
That
one's, it's grown on me, but like you said, I don't know if you could have. You
can't have too much of that.
No, you can't still. That's not
Jesus.
A session ale.
Nah, not at all. Not well, some sessions maybe, but. So this, I'm excited because this is the first time I've had a guest on that I can talk about football to.
Yeah, man.
Big Burnley fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Huge Burnley fan. Go to all the home games.
Yep.
How good is Sean Dyche?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I think sometimes he gets a bit of stick from the fans, do you think? I don't know, do you ever feel... Are you, I take it you're
from,
a Burnley fan.
I'm a United fan, actually.
Oh, right,
I'm
okay.
A United
fan. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'm a United fan, and I think... I don't know what it's like, because I'm not
it's
a Burnley
not
fan.
Not always. I just think... Sometimes we hit him a lull in the period, because like a lull period in the season, and he doesn't like to make changes. Or is he, I'm not saying he doesn't like, I don't think he does, because he doesn't make loads, do you know what I mean? Or if he does, it's at like the 89th minute.
Yeah.
So I get sometimes maybe the frustration with fans as in, you know, come on, make a change because it's not working if we're like 0-0 or even 1-0 down or something. But I just think you've got to remember what that guy's done for the club. I mean, he came
exactly.
in, it's like he has just completely transformed that place. And what he's done on the budget and, you know, you just look at us. I think there was obviously you see like the facts in the paper and stuff. And I think we're like possibly like for what we've achieved on the money, we're like the highest, you know, like what... Where we are in the table with what the squad is worth, you know, in money compared to others around us.
Yeah.
It's mental, you know, what
from the outside looking in, so I'm like, genuinely, I think he's doing an unbelievable job.
Totally.
You had European football last year.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's Burnley.
He must
football
put a lot of belief in those players. I mean, there is, and they are a solid team now. Like, honestly, even when we're playing some of the big teams, you fancy it. Because I went to United, and the last two times I've been to United, we've been like 2-0 up.
Yeah.
And like, even last time, Did he finish 2-2? No, what, was it 2-2 right last
minute?
Yeah,
I think we pulled it back.
Jay Rodriguez scored like a... That was the second
did
goal.
Did Sanchez score last minute or something to make it 2-0? I might be getting this wrong, but...
I can't remember now.
But I genuinely think he's absolutely smashing it for you guys.
Yeah,
100%. And it might be different, like you say, because you go to all the games and you think, oh, well, everyone's a manager, aren't they?
This is what I'm saying. And I hear it just where I'm sat around me. You hear him like, come on, make a change. Everyone getting mad at him. And it's you've got to look at where we are, where we've come.
Yeah.
The teams that we have beat, you know, we're, you know, it's not easy to come to Turf Moor now. You know, they come and, you know, it's, they're taking seriously.
How annoyed were you when you got, was it Aberdeen you got in the Europa League?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, God, we're going to have a massive away
game. No, I mean, I don't really go away, to be honest. I've been to a couple of away games, and it's not the best idea for me. I think it was Aberdeen.
That's absolutely a shame, isn't it? It could have been
the
arse
of nowhere place.
So, shocker. But I'm going to give you an opportunity here, okay? So you can bring one ex-Burnley player back on current form right now to Burnley's fold. Okay, so out of these three players, Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
Danny Ings.
Yeah.
Robbie Blake. Who are you bringing
back? I'm Kieran Trippier's biggest fan. Honestly, he was like my favourite player.
I saw him live at Burnley. He was head and shoulders above the rest.
But just from a goal scoring point of view and the form that he's in right now,
Ings
for me. Yeah. Just because I think sometimes, like I say, I mean, obviously Rodriguez is in great form. Mm. I personally think Wood is sometimes a bit hit and miss. Mm.
He got over 10 goals, didn't he?
I just think, obviously, you've got to be scoring goals, aren't you? So it's like, I don't know, because Trippier just brought so much. That's what his delivery was just insane.
Yeah.
He'd put a ball every time someone's just, someone's going to get on the end of this. It's just absolutely perfect.
You could tell he was a Man City player, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could tell he was brought up through there. Absolute quality. It was unbelievable.
That's a tough one. I would say,
I think you've
I'm
got to go
think who's in that position, and I think it's not there. Yeah, I would say Ings at the minute. For I would
20 goals
again,
a season.
That's it. But I mean, again, I'm not a manager, you know what I mean? And I think that's it. When you watch Dice, it's like give him a break. It's like you've got to look. You know, people do just get really kind of arsy, and all the end, they're all an expert, and I don't know. I think, like I say, I just think what he has achieved with us is unbelievable.
Good.
But it can be, at times, a little frustrating to watch in the respect that, you know, we don't always play,
attractive football.
Attractive football. Yeah, it's sometimes it's just that day, you know, they dig deep, they just grind out a 0-0.
Yeah.
But it keeps us up, and it keeps us, like, you know, mid-table.
Yeah. Well, you're in Europe, in my eyes, that's an unbelievable achievement.
Totally.
Unbelievable. So... Just, I'm going to have to go back to Corrie. Mm-hmm. So, obviously good friends with Jenny McAlpine and Andy Wyman.
Correct.
So, Andy plays Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny plays Fizz. So, there's one thing in common with them two that's not in common with you. They've both been on I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, yes, they have. I didn't
think
of that.
Would you do something like I'm a Celebrity?
I would, I think. I don't know... I do honestly think it'd be really tough.
Yeah.
And I know...
Especially you've got a kid now as well, so
this
even
is
tougher.
I think, like, you know, like they have, like, the dancing on ice. I wouldn't... as long as, like, I'm at Corrie, obviously, I'd strictly out of, like, the question because it's BBC.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if I'd want to do that anyway. But either way, the dancing on ice, I look at that and I think, you know, you're learning, like, a mad skill. You know, with ice skating and stuff, it'd be awesome. But I imagine it's very hard work. But at least you get to come home at night and meet your family.
Of course.
The jungle side of it, I think, would be, again, an experience that you'll just, you know, you'll take to the grave of your own.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
But it's just, I believe what I've heard from Jenny and from Andy, it is just a life-changing experience, but it's hard. And I remember Andy saying to me,
Andy won it.
He came second.
Oh, did he come? Oh, okay, he came second.
Not just saying, I do think he was robbed.
He
was robbed. He was so awesome.
But
don't get me wrong, I think he'd take second if you told him at the beginning all day long. But anyone who knew him, though, because you know he's just such a normal guy, you knew he was going to do well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for people that know him, because you know he's just
very
so relatable,
and,
so down to earth.
Yeah.
You know, don't take himself too seriously at all. Mm. It's just, so I always thought, like, you know, Andy will do well in it. But and he always wanted to do it. He's a massive fan of the show.
Yeah.
But I think that side of it is in, you know, away from home, I don't even think it's just the food. I think it's the boredom, you know, because Andy said, you know, you've got to think, like, you know, sometimes like when you're chilling at home, I don't know, you've got a day off and you don't really do much and you feel like you get a bit like stir crazy, yeah, you just want to get out of the house. And you can watch telly, you can read a book, you can do whatever.
Can't do any of that there, can you?
Any of that. Literally, you're not even allowed to take anything with you. You just sit there all day long.
Oh my God.
It must just be. But I mean,
but you
I'm sure the worst thing. Yeah, I would.
Yes or no?
I would do it. Obviously, I'm going off on a tangent, but I would do it. I'd do it. You know, if asked, I would give it a whirl.
Definitely could give it consideration.
Yeah, definitely give it consideration.
No, ITV bosses be listening to this podcast, eh?
Hopefully not. Wait till the grows up a bit.
Give it a year or so. Okay, so we've got to the point in the podcast where I ask you to explain your craziest drunk story you've been indirectly or directly involved in. Can be as crazy or PC as you want. It's completely up to you.
Yeah.
Have you got one you can share?
Yeah, I've got one actually. I mean, obviously, I have to be careful. It's one of them. But you know what, though? We say crazy. I'm not a crazy guy. You know, it's one of them. I'm just with work and stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when I do ever go out, it's nice to go out on a, you know, a big night out every now and again. Yeah. And whenever I do, it just, it always proves very kind of difficult. Yeah, unfortunately, of course, I just attract the wrong attention at times. You know, it's like you go out, especially in Manchester, to places where people don't know me. They only know me as Chesney.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they've got groups of lads, sometimes groups of girls, they've had a few too many to drink. You can just attract trouble, so it's one of them. But
it's not even looking for it, is it? Either,
no,
is it?
This is it. I've had a few times where it's been really hairy, and it's like, but I remember that there was, so I think that's why I hung out like with my brother so much, kind of like, or even now, just going out like locally and stuff. That's just like, that is just my thing now.
We're in the Royal Windsor at the moment in a back garden in Helmshire, and this is perfect. This is the kind of thing you're looking for, isn't
this
it?
This is my cup of tea.
It's a coronavirus shed that's been transformed, isn't it? And it's got a TV on the, it's just unbelievable. This is the perfect kind of thing you need to be doing.
Yeah, this is like, right up my street. Like I say, but yeah, I was, me and my brother, we had a little setup at home, and my parents, they, when we lived in Bacup, when I lived in Bacup, I was with Joe, we go to all sorts, and we're always looking for a new hobby. We were always looking for something else to do.
Yeah.
And we were like, right, well, Joe saw a video of this guy. Have you seen those power kites down on the beach and stuff?
Power kites.
Like, so you get like normal kites when you're a kid, and you get like these power ones, and they're massive, and you have like two big handles, and they're like, people like get surfboards and they go out to sea and I think you can even get ones, I've seen them in like in America stuff, where they're on board and they've got big wheels and they fly around on them.
Jesus.
Anyway, yeah, they're pretty like extreme, and we're not that extreme, to be honest. And my brother just got it in his head one day. He was like, I've seen these power kites, man, we should get two.
Get one.
And I was like, two. He was like, we'll get one each. And I was like, I said, we'll fly off together. So I was like, okay, man, yeah, sure. Anyway, we had a few, my mum and dad have a little place in Turkey, so they've been away and stuff. And, and they go away a lot, to be honest, soaked out there to relax and whatnot. Anyway, me and Joe, had one night, we're at home on our own, we had a few beers. And he was like, come on, let's just order them. So anyway, so we order them. This isn't the part of the tale, but anyway, we order them. A few days later, when they come, the weather was really, really bad. And when we read into it, there is an ideal like weather for it. Obviously, you don't want no wind because it's not going to go. But you, at the same time, you don't want like, you know, strong winds because
you might end up in bloody Aberdeen again.
Yeah, this is it. So anyway, so these power kites come. I think I got like an entry level like 1 meter thing, and Joe got this like 4 meter one, and we thought we can just chop and change it. Not realizing like you really need to be quite experienced with these things, knowing kind of what you're doing, how to handle them, judging it, etc. So we get these power kites, and we're like, it's the day, like I said, the day they come, the weather's really bad. So we writ it off. We were like, you know, it's not for it. It
not
was like
right
an amber
day.
Weather one, gale force winds. Anyway. You know, and as well, where we live, I don't know if you know, up near Beckup Golf Club, Wreck and stuff, really high up. You are exposed to the elements up there. So always wind up there, innit? Anyway, we get these power kites, and we had a few beers, and it got like to near dark. Like it was a really impromptu thing. We were just sitting at home, we've had like a few beers.
We
really enjoy
it,
whiskey, so we'd be like, and we really like a whiskey. We enjoy. We love a single malt.
Yeah,
and my dad away. We stacked out our room. We got some really nice single malts on. We had a few whiskeys, and it's one of them when you like, you know, a bit pissed. Something that really now is stupid at the time. You're just like, oh no, come on, this is gonna be fun. This is a great best idea in the world. So we were like, no, come on, let's go. So we got Joe's power cart. I got mine. We put them on our backs. We went walking up to the wreck. Got to the wreck. There's nobody up there. Whoever's around us. I think the one lady came along with like a little Westie or something. It was like just that kind of day. You know, nobody up there. It's going down. Joe's like, oh, just give it a quick go. Don't worry about it. And I was like, So anyway, so I was like, you go first, mate. Literally. So yeah,
that's a smart move there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he unzips his thing, gets out, lays it out, puts the thing on, puts like the wrist straps around his arms, yeah, yeah, like sports. He puts these straps on, gets the handles. And he's like, you have to like pull back to like to get it to go. And you're like, and it basically started to go up, just started to go. The wind, honestly, when I got up there, I was like, this is actually, it was like a sobering moment. I was like, this is actually really stupid. Like, we probably should just, it's blowing sideways. He lifts it. And honestly, I'm not exaggerating. The wind caught this thing. He went off like he had a jetpack on. I'm not joking. He pulls back on it. You know the goalposts, they're full size nets.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one that he was near, he just flew over it.
Oh my god.
Literally, he's going up like this. He tears off to left. He's literally like screaming. Like, honestly. He's literally screaming. I'm like laughing my head off. But then it was almost a bit like, you're laughing at first. You're like, shit. And honestly, he's like obviously trying to control whatever he's doing.
Get back
and
down.
I could see he was trying to let go of it, but his wrists are like strapped in.
Oh, whoa.
And he's like, so he starts going to the left and he flies. Literally, it goes off, goes over. You know, you've got the wreck, you've got like that dry stone wall.
Yeah.
And then there's like the Case Farm. There's a farm there. Literally, he just goes flying and just comes right down in the field. So he's just off there. So I'm literally legging it up to him to go check if he's all right. I mean, luckily I got there and he was fine.
Yeah.
It was so bad. I mean, I just packed that thing up. Needless to say, I don't think I'll ever get it again.
You weren't looking at it and thinking, right, I'm going to give that a go.
No, that was a stupid investment.
One or two more whiskey. Did you ever use it again?
No, I never used it again. Honestly, we were thinking we'll take it to the beach one day, maybe try that. Yeah. No, honestly,
not a chance.
It was the stupidest weather conditions. The stupidest idea, but like I say, you've had a few beers, and it was just typical me and my brother that we were just like, yeah, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're glad you weren't the person to do it first, there, aren't you?
This kind of thing happened again. We bought mountain bikes. We weren't drunk this time, so I suppose it's not a drunk story, but we bought mountain bikes, which I sold to Sam Spencer because I had such a bad time on it. We went up to the, we walk into Ride On.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, never done a day's mountain biking
lives. I've just realised that Sam Spencer did his knee on that bike.
Hang on, this is what I mean. It's an omen, dude. It's an omen. So I walk in to Ride On. Literally, me and Joe, never done it in our lives. Walk in. We want two mountain bikes. And then he's like, right, which ones do you want? And then we kind of said what we'd want it for. So he said, well, I can spec one and we'll order it.
Yeah.
And me and Joe were like, no, not good enough. We'll take those two right there because we want to do it now. You know, we don't want to wait. Literally, put them in the car, drive straight up to Lee Mill Quarry.
Now,
this is just a stupid idea. Again, see,
why do you go for the worst places in the world?
Get up there, and then Joe. It's a long story, but we've been all around, all over. Coming back, he's trying to go down this trail, and again, this bit looked just really ropey.
Yeah.
And I went, "You go first, Joe. You go, man. I'll watch." Joe goes down, but this time he wasn't lucky because he buckaroo effect, and he literally again just went flying through the air
over the goalpost again.
And this time he was like out of it. He was just literally on the floor.
Oh,
he was face down. He was like rolling out. I could tell he was totally disorientated. His eyes were like, and I literally pulled him back and I'm like, Jane, I was proper shaking up. And I was like, you all right, mate? And his shoulder had just completely out. It was stuck up here, literally.
Oh,
it was just
up
honestly.
Lee
Mill Quarry. We had to walk from Lee Mill Quarry down to the centre of Bakewell. This was on Christmas Eve.
You kept that one quiet.
Honestly. And then, we spent Christmas Eve in hospital. But, then, like I say, needless to say, I'd sold it.
Cursed that bike. Yeah. So did you go, I'm assuming once again, Joe's gone on the kite.
Mm-hmm.
He's still killed himself.
Yeah.
It's then happened years later on a bike.
Yeah.
He's gone first again.
Correct.
Did you go down on the bike this time after seeing what he'd done?
No, I don't know. I literally held it and I walked
down.
You're
intelligent, yeah.
We had these little shiny new bikes and walking down the quarry with it. Honestly, we looked like two right fans. Mind you, he didn't. His shoulder was hanging off, so. But anyway, never mind.
I think that's a better story than you think, you know. I think that's up there.
No, it's just where they just daft stuff in it that you get up to. And like I said, yeah, it's one of them, just the going out scene, you know. It's nice occasionally, you know, like I had a great time on the stag do, things like that.
Where did you go on your stag do, by the way?
Edinburgh.
Oh, nice.
Which was awesome, yeah.
Amazing. We went on a stag do to Edinburgh earlier this year.
Yeah.
First time I've ever been. Unbelievable
top
city.
Top
so
honestly,
good.
I definitely want to go back in better circumstances, if you know what I mean, because I was just so mashed.
Yeah.
It was all, you know what I mean, really kind of, second days I don't remember, but
can't
first
remember
it was
where
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember the just city being so cool.
Yeah.
On
the hill.
Yeah,
that,
we walked up there on the in the morning because we got there, I think, Friday morning. And obviously, a big one on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday morning, we're like, right, we're walking up to Castle, you know, clear our heads.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went up there and it's a beautiful place. So I want to go with my missus, you know, and just have a proper look around.
I think that's the thing with Edinburgh. It can be like a stag do. It can be like a lads holiday kind of thing. And it can be somewhere you take your girlfriend or your
wife. Totally.
There's
loads of like
stunning
stuff
area.
This is it. Yeah. I'm definitely going to go back.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Great drunk story, by the way. Love that.
It's pretty tame to some of the others I've heard on here. I was like,
I mean, Sam Spencer set the bar, really.
Well, this is it.
That,
I'm not even going to try and compete
that one,
with that. I'm not really
trying. I can't think of
I don't
anyone.
Even know that. I know. That escalated quickly, didn't it?
I can't believe it. I get people come up to me like, is that place real? I'm like, yeah, Googled it. It's definitely real. It's unbelievable.
Insane. Insane.
So, again, I asked you to think of the best bar, pub, or nightclub you've ever been to.
Yeah.
Before you came on the podcast, have you narrowed it down?
I have. Again, just for my taste and, you know, what suits me, as in just where I can kind of really switch off.
Yeah.
We went to this place in, it's the Cheshire area. We've been once and it was unbelievable. So we're definitely going to go again. It wasn't long though before the lockdown, so it was one of them. But we went to, it's called the Bear's Paw, and you basically did really good for dogs because we have two dogs. We love walking them everywhere. We take them to Scotland and the lakes and stuff. And anyway, we went to this place and they have like dog beds and stuff in the room and this massive like big open fire. They've got loads of really good ale on, lovely whiskey selection.
Perfect
and
for
the
you.
Food is honestly to die for. It's just perfect. And we went there and there's some really really nice walks around. And I just I don't know. We went and me and my missus, we just had the best time. We took the dogs and. That's literally my ideal kind of place, just in a nutshell. You know,
you just
somewhere just off the beaten track.
Yeah,
I can go. Yeah. You can just totally switch off. Mm. You know, I didn't get any mire or anything. You don't mind it. It's just like anybody. When you go, you know, when you have a weekend away or you go on holiday, you go into escape work.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. It's different. Like, if I go away, I'm not going to get bloody bothered. But like yourself, you know, you're trying to relax.
And as well, sometimes when you go to these busy places, you know, as if you go like into a club or anything like that, like even like when we're in the stag, you're careful because what you're doing, because you might be being watched. Like I said, everyone's got an iPhone.
Yeah.
You can easily snap
something.
It can be misconstrued so easily.
Yeah.
You've got to be watching, you know, yourself all the time. Mm. Whereas we went here, like I said, it was really quiet.
Nice.
It was just lovely, man. But like I say, the food, the drink, the location, the whole thing was just top. Yeah. It was, like I say, that was my kind.
What's it called? The dog's paw?
No, the bear's paw.
Thank God I said. Thank God. I was thinking, I think I've got this one. It's the dog's paw.
No, it's the
bear's paw.
Yeah, the bear's paw.
Okay, bro. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah,
nice.
Definitely.
Nice. Before we finish the podcast, I'm going to give you, I'm going to put you in a scenario now. Okay, so you're in The Rover's Return.
Okay.
You've got all the cast, past and present there. You've got £1 to put in a jukebox. It's £1 per song. What song are you putting on? You've got to please everyone. What's your go-to song that you're going to put on that jukebox?
I feel like a song that would just, I think would work for young and old.
Yeah.
And just get you in the feels.
Go on.
Would probably be like, you know, something like Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I'm keen for that.
Yeah,
I'm keen for that.
You know, just something. The second it comes on,
everyone
just
knows it.
Feels,
everyone gets up off the stools and that.
Definitely.
Not in COVID times, obviously. But.
No, but yeah, we're not talking COVID times. No, yeah.
Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yeah,
nice.
I think that would please most.
Yeah,
I would think.
You heard it here first. Sam Astin loves Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yeah,
love it.
Let's go.
I had a great time. Unfortunately, that brings us to the end of the podcast.
No, we need to do it again, man.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, I'm going to get you involved somehow.
Please.
Thank you for coming on.
Like I say, it's a privilege.
It's been a pleasure.
Keep up with what you're doing on here, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the ale. You won't be having I won't brew what you tell me again, will you?
No, probably not. I'll bring the beer next time. Yeah. I'll play the game with you. Reverse, we'll reverse it.
I'll tell you what, we'll do that. I'll like that. thanks for tuning in. We'll have a new guest on next week and we'll see you then.